20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is Saturday, it is the weekend, and it is, of course, the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am Jason Perrone, along with Mark Eckel and Paul Bredel. Mark, on the East Coast, how are we living?
Well, as well as can be expected. I mean, you know, it's crazy times we're living in right now, but you're making the most of it.
Quarantine week four, I think. I don't know what it is for everyone else, but it's probably about the fourth week. So this is where we're all going to start to test our relationships with the people closest to us or who are stuck inside with us, right? Paul Bredel, how are you doing over there in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Fantastic. There's no snow on the ground, so I know that's always a good thing in mid-April. There's always that pesky snowstorm that comes up, and so hoping that doesn't come because I've already started doing my spring yard work.
Ah. Well, the other thing, too, is like when the snow melts, that's one thing, but then the ground doesn't actually dry out for like another 2 weeks after that.
Especially in my backyard.
Yeah, we have some diverse weather going on between the three of us, I imagine.
Yes, we do.
I just came off the beach to do this podcast.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Mark, as always,
as soon as we're done.
So. Standard disclaimer, Mark came off the beach, and I just looked ahead to next week in the Phoenix area, and we will have our first 90-degree day of the year on Wednesday, and it doesn't look like we're going backwards from there. So the heat is here.
Triple figures are right around the corner, huh?
That it is. But what's also right around the corner is the NFL draft. So this is the last show that the three of us are going to do before there's some actual draft stuff to talk about. So I'm really excited to do next week's show because we will have, remind me, we got the first round, obviously, and then two and three. We'll have three rounds to talk about, right, guys?
Yep.
Yeah, which is good.
We'll be on the morning of the third day.
Morning of the third day. So the draft is almost upon us. It's going to be a really interesting draft. I mean, it's this whole virtual thing and everything else. So, Mark, you've got a couple sources on the inside, and you've got a lot of guys that I know you worked with all through the years that cover the draft heavily, and I know you did as well, too. Like, what are they saying right now? Are they excited about it, or are they not looking forward to it because of the format?
Well, let's start one at a time. The writers, I don't know how they feel. They're probably mad because they're not getting a free meal out of it. because draft meals were always pretty good, at least in Philly. But I did talk to some people in the league, and they're a little anxious, I guess is the word, because they've never done it before. But they're prepared. I mean, some teams will be. I'll say this: I think some teams with more cutting edge people in the organization will be more prepared than others. I think Green Bay will be one of the more prepared. I like the fact they have a young general manager now. I'm not so sure the last years of Ted this would have gone as well. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah. That would have been more entertaining than the draft itself, was watching Ted navigate through, you know, everybody's allowed one IT guy, I think, is the rule in their headquarters or whatever it is. Ted would have maybe needed a couple.
And there are teams. The New York Giants come to mind. Dave Gettleman doesn't seem to be he has a hard time with a cell phone.
Yeah. Well, he has a hard time with a lot of things, but that's a completely whole other topic. Paul, are you looking forward to the draft?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that this is going to be a wild one, to say the least. I just think that there's a lot of unknowns. Focusing on the Packers, I think that's especially true, just given that there's a number of positions that they could address. It's a deep class at a number of those positions. And then in Gutekunst's 2 years as GM, we've seen that he's a bit of a wild card and unpredictable on draft day, trading up, trading down in round one of 18, trading up in round three that same year, trading up to get Darnell Savage last year. And then without teams being able to do the same offseason workouts and interviews that they've done. I just think that there's a lot more moving parts this year. And so I think it's going to be a lot more chaotic than usual, not just for, you know, talking about the Packers, but in general with every team.
Yeah, long gone are the days of, I mean, I'd say this jokingly, but long gone are the days of waiting with so much anticipation only for to see Green Bay either trade out of the first round or draft Justin Harrell. So Brian Gutekunst's last 2 years has definitely made it very fun to watch and very exciting. So I expect more of the same this year, and who knows what surprises he holds for us. Last year, there were a lot of, as is the case every year, a lot of names mocked to Green Bay, a lot of popular names thrown around, and then lo and behold, at pick number 12, it was Rashawn Gary out of Michigan, the pass rusher, who they drafted after they had already signed Za'Darius and Preston Smith. And so Goot has, as we've seen, thrown a lot of resources at an area of need on the team. And in fact, speaking of pass rushers and edge, that is our topic today. So we're going to be talking about edge prospects. And the interesting thing about that is, like I said, last year seemed to be the year that they addressed that position. Doesn't mean that they can't go back there again this year, but they've got other needs, and I just don't see that being a really top and high priority. Now, Mark, again, I guess we'll start with you, because we're talking about Brian Gutekunst. This is his third draft as GM. And again, edge, this is, we can talk about some of these guys, but again, I don't think the likelihood of them going too early in the draft is very high, and I think you probably share that same sentiment.
Oh yeah, this is a bad year for edge, I think. I mean, we'll go over one by one. There's one obvious great one, a couple okay ones, and that's going to lead me to what I was teasing you about before we came on with the Packers draft last year. And I think a lot of I would think more than Green Bay does this, but they certainly did this. If you look at their first four picks from last year's draft, right? They took an edge rusher in Gary. They took a safety in Darnell Savage, a guard in Jenkins, and a tight end in Sternberger. To me, they're the four worst positions in this year's draft. Mm-hmm. There's the edge, like I said, there's a few edge. A scout told me it's the worst year of guards he's ever seen. There's only one good one, the kid from Michigan. Safeties are, I don't think a safety goes in the first round this year. Maybe one. It's not a good year for safeties. And tight ends, there's one that's might go in the first three rounds. I mean, it's a terrible year for tight ends. So I kind of think I kind of think the way the Green Bay Packers draft now, they draft with an eye on the future. And that's what people have to realize too. You're not drafting for 20. Like the 2020 draft isn't just about 2020. It's about 2021, 22, 23. So you look ahead now, where the Packers have needs, this is a pretty good draft. They need a wide receiver. Well, God, there's 100 of them. They need a tackle. There's some pretty good tackles. They could use a corner. We talked about corners last week and how many good ones there are. So defensive linemen, there's a bunch of good run-stopping defensive linemen. So they're in good shape for what they need in this draft.
Yeah, the edge doesn't seem to be it matches up there. So hopefully the temptation is gone for those specifically who want to see an offensive player take in a skill position or something a little bit more exciting. Although edge prospects are great when it's a great year for that, but this isn't necessarily that. Paul, as far as you, and I know you've, you know, I've mentioned it every week, done some work at Dairyland and all of your draft prep and Cheesehead TV, are you seeing the same thing? Do you feel like edge this year is pretty slim pickings?
Yeah, I do. It's, as Mark said, you know, it's top heavy with Chase Young, who we'll get to, and then after that it drops off, and not a whole lot of depth like there was last year. And from the Green Bay Packers' perspective, they have, as you guys mentioned, the Smiths and Gary. I won't rule them out not drafting one at all. It's not going to be early, or at least I don't anticipate it, but with five picks between round 6 and 7, they did lose Kyler Fackrell. And when you get to that point in the draft, it's all about who's best available. You're picking lottery tickets. You're going to take best available in your swing for the fences. So with Fackrell gone, potentially needing a new guy to kind of plug in on the very back end, I wouldn't rule it out. But it's, I mean, with the guys they have, and Gary's going to play a bigger role this year, it's just certainly not a priority with everything else that they, you know, the other positions that they need, as well as just the depth of the class in general.
Yeah, you get a guy who falls and falls back because of all the other positions that took priority or precedent or have better talent, and suddenly you've got a great value. So as far as the list, you know, like I said, and the fun thing about this too is that some of these names could be debatable as far as edge rushers. Some of them might project more as defensive linemen. It also depends on the defensive scheme that they play, so we can debate that stuff too. But the list obviously starts with a guy that could, in theory, you know, if it weren't for the usual quarterback situation every year, be the first player taken overall, and that's Chase Young out of Ohio State. He is not going to be in play for the Packers, and as much as we never know and got players can fall, we know he's not going to be available for the Packers. So let's just say, you know, Chase Young, Ohio State, he's an elite talent. There's a reason why he's projected to go, you know, number two overall, you know, third maybe at the latest, although it's the NFL, who knows, with trades and stuff like that. Not a whole lot to say other than this guy is phenomenal. And you know, fortunately, the Packers aren't picking two or three, so we'd have to sit through a painful season last year. But Chase Young not in play for Green Bay. So I guess the only thing we can hope for is that, you know, whoever moves up to that two spot, or if it does end up being, because it's Washington currently, right? That they take him off of the hands of the Detroit Lions before the Lions draft Chase Young, and he is terrorizing Packers quarterbacks for years to come. So, Mark, we'll start with you. Chase Young and your thoughts.
I think he's the best player in the draft. I mean, I know the Bengals were going to take Burrow. I would take Chase Young. I just would. I know, I mean, people tell me I'm wrong, and I probably am. I mean, quarterback's so important, but I don't think Burrow's good. I don't think, you know, I'm not taking anything away from him. I think Chase Young, I don't know if he's as good as Bosa, but he's right. He's in the same sentence. And you saw what Bosa did for San Francisco. I just think he's a great player. I can't imagine the Redskins not taking him. I know Ron Rivera pretty well. I remember when he was a linebacker coach for the Eagles. Hey, he fits exactly what Ronnie loves in a defensive and pass rusher. Yeah, he'll be a Washington Redskin. And like you said, I'm glad the Packers don't play the Redskins next year.
Yeah, next year or necessarily as often. Paul, anything to add on Young?
No, he's fantastic. And honestly, I still have nightmares about him terrorizing the Badgers from this past season. He had a 6-tackle, 5-for-loss, 4-sack, 2-force fumble game against Bucky. So I'm glad the Redskins are there to hopefully keep him out of the NFC North, because I don't need to see any of that again on a regular basis.
Or maybe the Dolphins get smart and somehow move up, and he ends up in the AFC, and then they only have to see him once every 4 years. But I doubt it. I think, Mark, you've got a...
He's a fair kind of player. He's without a doubt a Ron Rivera defensive lineman.
So to your point, I don't think, unless it's just something too good to pass up, I don't think Washington moves out. And then Detroit can figure out how they're going to screw up this draft at the third spot then after that. So they'll move it on after. So after Chase Young, there's a bit of a drop-off here, but there's an intriguing guy, and he's played in a, you know, on a good team in a good conference against some top competition. So that's Kalyvon Chason out of LSU. Played in the college football playoffs, which matters, as we've talked about, performance in big games. Mark, your guy on the inside likes Kalyvon Chason. He's only 20 years old, so he's young. He didn't run drills at the combine. In his sophomore season, he tore his ACL that first game, so he lost his sophomore season. I think he lost a redshirt season, but he comes out 6'3", 254. What say you, Mark, about Kalyvon Chason?
Good player. I mean, again, not, he's like you said, big drop-off from Chase Young to him. Comes out of a very good program at LSU, a really good defense that they had last year. And he'll be a first-round pick. He'll probably go in the middle of the first round, I think, somewhere around 16, 15, 16. You know, I think Atlanta takes him, to be honest with you. I think I haven't done a mock yet, but I'm thinking he goes. I think that's a good fit. And I think they pick, what, 15 or 16 the Falcons. So, yeah, I think he's, you know, I don't think he's a great – I mean, he has what you look for, the speed, the strength, the size, all that kind of stuff. He only had 6.5 sacks last year. It's hard to, you know – production hasn't been where you want it to be for, you know, for a guy coming out like that. You'd like to see, like you said, a year before he didn't play at all. So that was, you know, he's probably a guy that might have been better off going back to school a year. But I guess when you win the national title and you know you're going to be a first round pick, who am I to tell him to go back to school, right?
Yeah, at this point, the risk situation, I think, drives the decision for a lot of these guys. But, you know, the 20-year-old thing is intriguing, because that was kind of the story with Kenny Clark. Kenny Clark is a very young going into his second contract player, and he's been really, really good. So if you hit and you whoever drafts him does well here, they're gonna have a player that is gonna be entering his prime, you know, a little bit later. They're gonna get a little bit more miles on those tires. So Paul, any film study, anything to mention about Chasen and what he does well and what he might struggle with in the NFL?
I think teams are going to like him just because of the potential that he has. You mentioned him only being 20 years old, and then on the tape, he's fast, but he's also got the strength despite being a little bit smaller. I see here he's, at least what I'm looking at, he's listed under 250, but he still has good strength given his size. And he has the tools that you can see developing into an effective edge rusher in the NFL. So despite the lack of production, I think that he's going to be certainly a first rounder, but I think he'll be potentially the second edge guy taken after Young, just because of the potential that teams see in him with the tools and the speed and all of that.
Right. So then moving on from him, then we get an even bigger drop off here. So the next guy on the list here, and these may not necessarily be in order, but Yetur Gross-Matos out of Penn State. You know, it's interesting. In the last 10 years, the number of guys coming out that have the hyphenated names. So then it's like, you know, more to have to remember and keeping the jersey stitchers busy. But Penn State, Yetur Gross-Matos. Mark, this is one that you're not as high on.
Well, again, I didn't think he was a bad player, but the guy that I took, the scout that I used for the series that I wrote for Packer Report, he's not crazy about him. He said he's okay, just a guy. Like, he doesn't think he's going to come in and be a double-digit sack guy in the NFL by any stretch. Thinks he might be a low first, early second-round pick. He did have 9.5 sacks last year, you know, for Penn State. He had 8 the year before. So there is some production. Decent size, 6'5", 260. Believe it or not, he's not very good against a run, despite his size. And that's kind of a question. You would think a guy that big would set a good edge, but he really doesn't.
Well, what's interesting is he had a lot of tackles for loss. He had almost twice as many of those as he did sacks this past season. So he found his way into the backfield. He's, you know,
he plays the run on the way to the pad. Like, he's a penetrator, but I think in the NFL teams could expose him a little bit.
Sure. So here's another Big Ten guy. So Paul, this is your area here, being a Big Ten guy as well. Did he pop out to you at all this past season?
Not in the bit that I've watched him. Nothing in particular really popped. I mean, he has some good production numbers as we mentioned, and you can see once again, kind of like Chasen, he has the tools that you look for to be a successful edge rusher. But in watching him, there was nothing that really popped about him, I guess you'd say. It kind of left you wanting a little bit more, or expecting a little bit more for him, at least in my eyes. So I see him, you know, teams are always looking for edge rusher. The name of the game on the defensive side of the ball is getting after the quarterback. But I don't know. He left a little bit to be desired for me, but I think he still might be a first rounder, or at least early second.
Yeah, the thing about size with these guys is a lot of them come in and the size situation is going to change for them. Some of them have to drop weight, some of them have to put on weight. You know, you trust the teams to help them do that the right way, and hopefully they can. But then, Mark, you make a good point. When a guy has the size but he's not playing up to that size already in college, you know, is there a great chance that it's going to happen in the NFL? You know, we've probably seen it happen, but would you agree that that's more of the exception and not the norm, or do you think that that's not as big of a deal?
Oh, no, I think it's a very big deal. It gets harder. The NFL is harder than college. Mm-hmm. You don't get to play, you know, Penn State played some bad teams last year. Their non-conference schedule wasn't exactly good. I'll just say that.
Right.
You know, he's not going to see those teams. He's gonna, you know, so, yeah, you need to – yeah, I'm not a big fan. I hope he goes. I hope he goes somewhere in the 20s that take a player off the board that the Packers don't want and – maybe drop one of those wide receivers or offensive linemen down to him. I'd like to see the Vikings take him, actually.
Yeah, that would be fantastic, although I think the Vikings are going to, in my opinion, keep a certain receiver that has been talked about and connected to the Packers wearing a combination of yellow and purple But that's just that.
Oh, I don't.
That's just my thought. I know that they like Denzel Mims a lot, but
that's what they're gonna take.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson out of LSU, maybe. I don't know. You know, they you know, we want to hope they screw it up, but they're gonna get it right at least once every so many years, right? So, staying in the Big Ten. So, Paul, we'll start off with you here. So, Zach Bond is next on the list here. He's one of those guys that, you know, could go defensive line, edge. You know, he played edge at Wisconsin, but as we were talking about before the show, off ball seems to be his projection in the NFL. So, without any further ado, Paul, I will turn the reins over to you to talk about Zach Bond. And do you agree that he would stay a linebacker? Or do you think he fits better on the defensive line?
For those of you who follow me on Twitter, you know that I am, if not the president, I'm up there of the Zach Bond fan club. I love this, watching this guy at Wisconsin. Really came out of nowhere this last year, really shot up draft boards with a huge senior season, and then a nice performance at the Senior Bowl. And a big reason, I think, he just obviously got more eyes on him with his performance, but his skill set as a whole is what teams are looking for an NFL linebacker this year. We saw last year that he could get after the quarterback. He can defend the run. He dropped into coverage at least 80 snaps two of the last three seasons, and tested well, showing off the athletic ability. But given his size, and he's talked about it as well, he's listed here at 6'2", 238. That might be on the heavier side. He's likely going to be more of an off-ball linebacker. But with his skill set, NFL teams should use him in a variety of ways. He shouldn't just be an off-ball linebacker. They should send him as a blitzer and things like that, because he does have that diverse skill set that teams are going to covet. With that said, he's all over the board. You know, I look at mock draft projections to kind of see where some of these Badger guys are going, and I've seen him in the low 20s all the way to the mid-50s. So I think it just kind of depends on the team and if they need to be using him in the correct way. But if they do, I think he can be a good player.
He seems like the type of guy that, because of the play that he's been getting, and he's got some versatility there, that he could end up being a surprise guy that gets picked a little bit sooner than later. But but again, I think in that situation, because again, the Packers are going to have opportunities. We'll talk about this after we get through the list. I think one of the things that we talked about before the show was that in the later rounds, there might be some good value there, and that might be a better spot for Green Bay to find a guy like that. So, you know, they don't have to necessarily reach for a guy like Bond, unless they absolutely love him. And they loved Rashawn Gary last year. So, you know, you never know what the Packers are thinking. And although that's been over the course of the last 10 years, it's been two GMs making the decisions. Mark, you and I talked about it. It's been very heavy on defense early in the draft. So
yeah, crazy heavy. I'm Paul said he's the president. I didn't get to see Wisconsin nearly as much as Paul did, obviously, but I like Bond a lot. I mean, he's kind of, as much as I want the Packers to take an offensive player at 30, if Bond's there, they have to think about him, don't they? I mean, he could be that inside. I mean, Mike Patton loves inside linebackers that are versatile, that could blitz and cover, and he's almost like an ideal inside linebacker for a Mike Patton defense. Am I wrong in thinking that? I mean, Paul, you know him better than I do. You've seen him play a lot more. Isn't he the kind of guy that the Packers like?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Like I said, it's that versatility, and I think that's a big part of what just in general has really vaulted him up big boards, you know, since December, January timeframe, is that, you know, you can do so much with him, and I think that's where he's going to be at his best and putting him in the positions to succeed rather than just, you know, locking him into, all right, this is your job. Let him do what he can do in the specific situations that require that. But no, I think that Patton would love, you know, we've seen the draft, the defensive players that the Packers have drafted, the free agents that they've signed, you know, versatility is huge with Patton in this defense, and that's what Bond provides.
And Patton is going to, should be pounding the table and that voice in the room wanting another defensive player, because he's back this year, but there were some deficiencies on his defense. And it seems like this year is kind of an important one. There's going to be certain areas where his defense is going to have to improve. Now, they signed Christian Kirksey in the middle of the defense there. So if we're talking about a guy who's going to play off ball, and again, that may or may not be the case with him, then is that a good compliment there? But, you know, you're drafting talent, and Bond's got a lot of it. So, I think some team is going to become enamored with him, and I'll be surprised if he's still on the board, let's say by the 41st pick, is just kind of my thought there on Bond. But
forget the 41st pick. If he's there at 30 and you're already six wide receivers deep and five offensive linemen, five tackles deep, what do you do?
And that's the million-dollar question, because we don't have enough sample size to know what Gutekunst is going to do. And we saw him take a guy that he was enamored with last year. So I guess it's going to depend on whether or not he's enamored with a guy or not. You know, in the first round, if you're not going to trade out of the first round, then you might as well.
I might trade out if that's the case.
But... Well, I think so as well. But that's if the Packers want to get a top wide receiver, because they can get one and they don't have to take him at 30. They can get a couple more picks and take another stab. I mean, if you're within that top, you know,
50, well, somebody's got to want to. You know, everybody says that it's the only Packers should trade back. Well, somebody's going to want to have to trade up to 30, and you trade up for a quarterback or a. I mean, who's somebody coming up? Who wants to come up to get the 30th player? That's, I don't know. I mean, maybe there is somebody. I don't know.
Well, yeah, because you're jumping ahead of Kansas City and San Francisco, so
and the top of the second round. Too,
yeah, Cincinnati. And San Fran, you know, have already set themselves up. They've, you know, they're picking. Aren't they picking 12th?
13.
So,
yeah, they're going to get CeeDee Lamb, and that's not going
to
be good.
Yeah, they're not going to be any easier to take care of this next season and moving forward. Packers had their share of problems with them last year, obviously. So, I'm just realizing now. It's not just like it should be a surprise, but how Big Ten heavy this list is, because then we move on to. Paul, I might need some help with it. Is it Epenesa or Epenesa?
Epenesa.
AJ Epenesa out of Iowa. So, you know, it would the Packers love the Iowa boys. You know, they drafted a lot of them during Ted's time anyway. So 6'5", 275. He did not have a great combine, but he participated in it, and his size has been listed as a little bit of a question. But again, is this a guy that's got the frame that they can, you know, put some bulk on him, or is that not even the issue? Is it really more of just the fact that, you know, he doesn't necessarily have the length that you want in an edge rusher? But over the last two seasons, he had 30 and a half sacks. So did he show up on tape, Paul, when you were looking at him? I can't remember if I think the Badgers played Iowa. So did he show up big in that game, or did you see anything from him that has you higher on him than his combine performance would suggest?
Yeah, I mean, he has the production. He's 6'5", 275, so he's got good size. Strong, he's versatile. He can play inside or outside, which would, you know, if we're talking specifically about the Packers, as we kind of mentioned, you know, that's something that Mike Pettine likes to do. He did that a lot with Zadarius last season. And then the production as well. I can't remember if I mentioned that or not. But as far as from the Packers' perspective, the testing at the combine, if they were interested in him, I think would kind of be the, you know, would put them off on him, especially at the NFL level. You wonder, is that production going to carry over if he's not, you know, if at the college level he's not among one of the better athletes, how is that going to turn over to the NFL, and will that production carry over? So I think that's kind of the question mark with him, but still – he's still a very talented player. That's the thing we got to keep in mind when we go through with these guys. And if we knock them on something, you know, it's not to take away from, you know, who they are, the type of player that they are. But I think that's just something to be mindful of. But he's versatile, strong, and long.
Yeah. So, Mark, would what the Packers do on their defense fit a skill set like this? Because, like Paul said, you are who you are. So he can work on some things and try to work on some of that athleticism. But is this a guy that has stood out to you at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a good player. Like, he was a very good college player. I like what Paul said. Is it going to translate? I don't know. My guys tell me they think he's more of a 3-4 end than he is a, you know, outside linebacker in a 3-4. They think he's more – and Zadarius did put his hand down last year sometimes, so – I mean, the Packers could use that, but I don't see him. I don't see him being a Packer. Like Paul said about this, the testing. I think he can help some team. I think he could go. He could be a late first round pick. I could see him going to. I don't know. I could see Kansas City maybe at 32.
Yeah, I think it's going to depend on the team and the system that he's going to fit in. If his skill set fits, then there's a higher value on that player in that system. I just don't know. It's just kind of the same thing. I don't know that I see what he does as something that Green Bay need, unless he you know, falls into the third, fourth round for some reason.
I don't think he does. But I don't think he does. I think the production is too much. That again, I don't think the Packers are taking any of these guys. To be honest with you, I think they're taking a wide receiver or a tackle.
Well, we hope so. You know, we hope so. We never know, because the draft is going to get really weird this year, I think. And then I say that, and then maybe a week from now we're talking about how boring it was because nobody traded and nobody moved around because of the circumstances, you know. So I don't think there won't be any trades, but, you know, it could end up being completely weird and chaotic. Paul, I think the word you used yesterday, Paul, in a conversation we were having was chaos, or it might just be kind of ho-hum.
Yeah, to play devil's advocate, it could be, you know, if they're not going to trade up because there's an unknown, maybe they're more likely to make trades to go get the guy that they know is going to be who they want because of that unknown. But, like every year, you see all these mock drafts come out, and largely they're a lot different than what goes on because there's just so much more background information that the NFL teams have that we're just not privy to that affects the draft. So it'll certainly be as fun as it always is.
Yeah, for sure. So moving into my conference here, the Pac-12, Bradley and I out of Utah. This is a guy his stock has actually been kind of rising. So Epinesa's stock has fallen a little bit because of his combine, but Anai's gotten a little bit of play. He's rising up the board, and it seems like it's his versatility because he fits in either a 3-4 or a 4-3, and that's important, obviously, because you've got more options for teams that can take you because you're going to provide value and production for them. He had three straight seasons with double-digit tackles for a loss, which, you know, if you're going to be listed as a top seven guy in the edge class or as a, you know, as an end, yeah, you kind of need to do that. That kind of needs to be the story. 6'3", 257 are his numbers. So, Mark, I know the Browns like him. I know the Browns have done some research on him. I read that. So they're looking into him there. But, Mark, we'll start with you because I know that size matters, as you've said. 6'3", 257. What do those numbers sound like for an edge rusher?
I like him a little taller, but he's got good size. I think he's a production is good, like you said. 13 sacks last year, 21 over the last 2 years. The tackles for losses are there, like you said, 8. He went 18, 15, 14. He's a productive football player. Plays in a bad conference, but you know, can't hold that against him. I'm just messing with your Pac-12 there. I'm an SEC guy, Dan. I'm in the South now. So I mean, no, I think he's a solid. What do you think? Somewhere late second. He's not a first round pick, right?
No, I don't. No, he doesn't project. I think mid to late two would probably be about where he would fall. I mean, Utah had a. They had a good season. They didn't get as much love as maybe they should have as far as consideration for the tournament. But you know, they had a really good season, so their players are going to get a lot of play. Zach Moss, the running back, is another guy that's gotten some looks there too. So, you know, he probably will end up going a little sooner than later because there's also some guys too. And Mark, you've seen it throughout your years. There's some guys that just love certain programs and they love guys that come out of certain schools. And they more heavily scout those universities.
Well, if we look at, and it's a small sample size because there's only been two drafts under this current Packer front office. Big Ten and SEC is where they go. Mm-hmm. Look at it, right? I mean, one ACC guy in Alexander, right? But last year, Gary out of the Big Ten and Savage out of the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Kankins out of the SEC, Sternberger out of the SEC. Kank a little further, Kiki out of the SEC for that matter, right? Year before you had, who did they take after?
Josh Jackson.
Josh Jackson, Iowa. Big Ten.
Big Ten. Oren Burks, SEC.
Jamon Moore, SEC, Missouri.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you right now, the Packers are not taking a guy from southwestern Louisiana. Not that there is one, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? They're not, that's how I knew the year that they traded down with New Orleans, they weren't taking Davenport out of the small. They weren't taking a small school guy and hoping he can project. They don't do that. Not early, especially not early. I mean, I think they've only made two picks outside of the power conferences in the last 2 years, right? They took the cornerback last year from Toledo, Holman.
Yep.
And took Scantling, who came out of what?
South Florida.
Yeah. They're the only two guys that weren't a power conference. And Notre Dame. They like Notre Dame guys. They're going to take Notre Dame guys. They take Notre Dame. I mean, they traded for the quarterback. They drafted them. They're going to take Notre Dame guys somewhere along the line.
And it's interesting, too. Their three big free agent signings this offseason were all Big Ten guys. Kirk C. Funchess and who am I forgetting? Oh, Wagner at Wisconsin. Michigan, yeah. Iowa, Wisconsin.
They like the Big Ten, and then they like the SEC a little bit.
All right, so for those of you who have your heart set on Brandon Ayuk at number 30, you can kiss those dreams goodbye because he won't.
I don't know.
And he's not going to be there at 62, so. Well, I'll tell you this. There's one more guy that I want
to. The Packers don't need that kind of guy. They have him already.
Right. Well, and that's, you know, that's the thing. They're going to have a lot of options, and that's why I'm glad this year I don't have my heart set on, like I have in many years past, one or two guys where my hopes get dashed very quickly. There are honestly probably at least 10 guys that I would legitimately be okay with if they picked what they took with their first pick, and that includes either at 30 if they move up, obviously great, and if they move back, like there's double digit guys that I would be okay with them taking. This is just it's a good draft class. So all right, SEC, if you want,
I have 10 guys that I wouldn't want them to take too.
Well, yeah, that as well, but you know, hopefully other teams will make those decisions for the Packers. And if you want to stay in the SEC, Mark, we've got the guy that rounds off our list here is Terrell Lewis out of Alabama. I feel like every single list we have has to include at least one Crimson Tide. So 6'5", 262, there's your size. He had he did not play much of 2017 or 2018. He had an ACL surgery in 2018. The knock on him is he doesn't balance well at the point of attack. But I don't know how uncommon that is for some of these guys. You know, he's playing against top competition. The Cowboys and the Patriots have been linked to Terrell Lewis. So, Mark, we'll start with you. SEC, Alabama. Yeah,
Mike, a little bit, too. Mike, well, what my guy says about him, and the red flag is the injuries. I mean, you can't overlook the fact that he got hurt 2 years in a row. You know, that, and he had, again, great size, great program. My guy said to me, he's a guy, if you take him, know that he's going to be a situational rotate in third down pass rusher. And that might be his ceiling. But that's not if that's all you can do, that's not a bad thing to be able to do. And if you just use him that way, I don't like to spend a first round pick on a guy like that. But if you're picking low enough and that's what you need, maybe. Now, again, I think he's more of a late second. I don't think he goes first. Do you? Too many injury concerns there.
No, not a first rounder, Paul. Any? Do you disagree, or do you think that's about where he would go?
Yeah, second, even third round. Yeah, you guys hit it on the head with him. He's got the, you know, he shows the traits that you like to see. He's got the athleticism, but the injuries. I looked it up. Pro Football Focus says he's only had 685 career snaps, not like pass rushing snaps, but just snaps in general. And he's been so-so against the run, so I agree with what Mark said. He might just be a situational third down, obvious passing situations, go get the quarterback, which, you know, teams need, and he can find his niche and be successful in that. But the injuries are a red flag, but you like the traits that you see when he's healthy and on the field.
Well, there's your Fackrell guy. Like Mark, you said, or maybe, you know, it was Paul who mentioned Fackrell's gone. So you have to, you know, so if that guy's available and say, you know, it wouldn't be, but if you've got a guy like that available in the fifth round, that seems about the sweet spot there. If you're looking for a third down specialist and somebody that can give you those quality snaps, you don't want your second or third rounder only playing one down. Right. So, I mean, as far as the list and the top guys, that kind of rounds it off. I mean, was there, before we sign off, was there anybody else that we should have added or that you had on your list? Mark, we'll start with you.
No, you even added a guy that I didn't have. So, no, this is not a good year. It's just not a good year. I'm, I started by saying that the Packers were smart. They looked I can't think it was a coincidence that the four guys their first four picks last year are the four weakest areas of this year's draft. I just don't think that was a coincidence.
Right. Right. Paul, any thoughts? I mean, do we miss anybody? Anybody else from Wisconsin that we need to profile?
Nope, not an edge rusher.
All right, so before we sign off, this is our last show before the actual draft itself. So the only question I'll ask real simply is, Paul, we'll start with you. First pick in the draft, whether it's in the first round or they trade back, are the Packers going offense or defense?
I think they're going offense.
Mark?
Offense.
Yeah, I have to think so as well. You know, Aaron Rodgers.
I think they get the right tackle.
You've got a quarterback that, you know, has a couple seasons, you know, left. If we're fortunate enough that he gets a second wind and he can play four or five more years at a high level, that is phenomenal. But yeah, they've got to get some things going on offense, and their defense just needs to show up and play, and Mike Pettine's gotta make do with what he's got. And it's when I say make do with what he's got, and I also say that he's got a lot to make do with. It's not like he's hurting for talent. So I think the offensive is the way to go. Absolutely. So, all right. Well, guys, we'll reconvene again in a week. We'll have some actual draft stuff to talk about. It has been good. Now this week, a lot of exciting content. So before we go, real quick, Mark, anything at Packer Report that's coming up that we should look out for?
It's always good stuff on Packer Report. I'll be writing Monday. I'll be looking at what the Packers might do position by position, where their greatest needs are, and some possibilities. And then Thursday, I'll have my who I think the Packers are going to take at 30.
All right. And Paul, Cheesehead TV, Dairyland Express.
Yep. Pumping out all sorts of draft content, whether it be mock drafts, looking at individual players or kind of position groups as a whole. Cheesehead TV, I just put out why I think the offensive line is perhaps the biggest need for the Packers this year, despite, you know, all the talk around linebacker and receiver and all of that as far as looking towards the future. So always good stuff like that. So be sure to check it out.
Yeah, for sure. All right, good stuff as always, guys. We'll see you in 1 week's time. Enjoy your weekend, everybody, and go Pack, go.